2 Samuel chapter 12. And we're in the last part of a three-part series on what happens to babies who die. I don't know about you, but it's been one of the most rewarding series for me as pastor. I've never addressed this subject as a whole in my 20, 21 years, however how long it is, in my ministry. But it's been rewarding to me. What happens to babies who die? Instant heaven. Yet they're born with a sin nature after the first Adam. The first week we looked at Jesus loves the little children, and we saw that out of Matthew chapter 19 that we should bring our children to Jesus. We can't save them, but we ought to do everything we can to put them in that position. Secondly, we saw that we should not hinder our children from coming to Jesus. I am sure that there were children yesterday, Friday night and Saturday, here that are not in a Christian home and they have never heard about Jesus Christ. Amen? Could you agree with that? And that makes it, whatever it is, $40, $44 a child for putting it on, I'm telling you, it's worth it, right? And then we looked at how God has a special provision for children in Matthew 19:14, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, last week I shared with you a few implicit references in Scripture and four theological questions that we looked at about babies going to heaven when they die. I want to review those four questions before we get into some explicit scriptures about what happens to babies who die. And today's going to be a little different. We're going to be going around from scripture to scripture, departing from our normal expository way, if you will. And we want to address this subject, what happens to babies who die. Remember, I brought four questions to you last week. If we're going to say that babies go to heaven, then we got to qualify the condition of accountability. It's not an age of accountability, because it can vary. It is a condition of accountability. If babies go to heaven when they die, then who are we talking about? Who is a baby? And we defined last week a baby or toddler or those who have not reached a mature understanding of law and grace, sin and salvation. It could be an infant. It could be a toddler. It could be someone who is mentally impaired. And then the second question we looked at last week, are all children conceived as sinners? Some teach that they're sinless. They're not born with a sin nature, but they are. Everybody that's born has a nature after the first Adam. The Bible says that all children are sinners at birth. If not, they would not have died, because it's an Adam, all die. If they did not have this inherited sin, they wouldn't have died young, right? But death came upon Adam's sin, Adam's fall, didn't it? But thanks God for the victory through Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross and his resurrection. Third question we looked at, well, if we qualified who are babies, and we looked at if children are all conceived in sin, then what are the implications of this? And we answered that by saying all mankind are depraved sinners born to depraved parents who are condemned to hell unless they're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. End of discussion. Children, before they die, before they can make a responsible choice between sin and salvation, good and evil, if they were to die in this condition of accountability or non-accountability, they would go to heaven, yet still with a sin nature that has not yet been manifested. And that brought us to the fourth question. If people have to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, then how are babies saved if they can't repent and believe? Well, they're saved by the atoning work of Christ that has been applied to them by grace, the same way that we're saved. They are sinners, but not guilty of sin of unbelief. Okay, it's a sin of unbelief that sends men to hell. Nowhere in Scripture, this is important, nowhere in Scripture do you see the damnation of infants, or do you see the salvation of infants by infant baptism. Eternal damnation is linked always to unbelief, and it's linked to that unbelief that is manifested in deeds and sins. And they're different from the Romans 1 heathen. The Roman of 1 heathen has been shown the glory of God. They deny God and they suppress the truth. They know there's a creator. And they suppress the truth for a lie. But a baby can't do that. He doesn't know truth, right? So the heathen in Romans 1 is without excuse. The baby is with excuse, because they haven't reached that age yet. They suppress the truth and the lie for the lie. Well, today I want to share some more explicit scriptures to prove that babies go to heaven when they die. And you may be here and say, well, you know, I don't think so. Well, I hope that you change your mind in these past 3 weeks And you may be here and you say, well, I believe babies go to heaven when they die, but can you defend that with anybody, right? These scriptures tell us that babies, number one, are innocent. Number two, babies are known by God. And number three, babies are saved from the judgment of God. And all these scriptures I'm going to share with you come under these three categories. Let's look first at the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 37. Are you there? Say amen. Are you there? Say amen. Okay, I told you to turn there a while ago, didn't I? Oh. Okay. Talk about a wind of rebuke. Knock me back, you know. I felt like Jesus when he said, I am, and the soldiers fell back, you know. Well, what did I tell you to turn to? Oh, did he? Okay. Well, go to 2 Samuel. I'll just read it to you. Okay, you're still in 2 Samuel, right? Okay, all right. Well, chalk it up the brain dead, right? All right. Okay, well, if you're in Deuteronomy, stay there. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 37. We talked about this last week. Remember, they're going into the promised land. And the word of God says this, moreover, your little ones, which you should, that said, should be prey. In other words, if we go into this promised land that, although God had promised it to them, they thought if they go in there, the children are going to be killed. He says, moreover, your little ones, which said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day, what? Had no knowledge between good and evil, the little ones. They shall go in thither, and unto them I will give it, and they shall possess it. Joshua and Caleb, two obedient followers, and the little ones, who could not discern between good and evil, were able to go into the promised land. You see it? Now, let me read this to you, okay? Jeremiah chapter 19, verse 4 and 5. Now, if we had the thing going, we could reference these up on the screen. But we don't want to get away from our Bibles. We're going to put the ones up there that I reference, not the ones that I want you to turn to, okay? Listen to this. Jeremiah 19, 4 and 5 talks about the blood of innocence. Talking about the nation of Israel. Because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burnt incense into it and to other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocence. That's talking about babies, isn't it? They're innocent. Verse 5, they have built also the high places to Baal, to burn their sons or the children with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came into my mind. In other words, they were offering up their babies to the god of Molech, like people have abortions, right? He said, the blood of innocence. I want to tell you, that baby in the mother's womb is in a haven of the most protection, should be the most protected place in the world, but today it's the most violated place. Amen? The blood of the innocents. Stay where you're at. 2 Samuel, I'll catch up with you. Jonah chapter 4, verse 11. Remember we talked about that last week? Jonah didn't want the Ninevites to repent, right? We get that way sometimes too. Lord, they're too bad to repent, man. Lord, bring judgment on them, right? In Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein there are more than 60,000 or 120,000 persons that cannot what? Discern between their right hand and their left hand. That's the infants. There were 600,000 people in Nineveh. 120,000 of them were people that could not determine good from evil. In Jeremiah 1:5, I like this verse. Boy, it gives people fits, but it don't me. Doesn't us, Brother John, does it? Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed thee in the belly, talking about Jeremiah, I knew thee. I knew thee. That's talking about a relationship. That's not talking about knowing Jeremiah by name. That's talking about a relationship, a love relationship that was set on Jeremiah in the mother's womb. Now listen to it. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto all the nations. He was called to be a prophet in the mother's womb, but yet in time God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. And I'm glad I'm not like Jeremiah, because I have had some converts in my ministry. But Jeremiah, a prophet of God, went through all his ministry. Not one person heard him. Not one person heard him. Talk about suicide for a pastor. I mean, you know, not one person heard him. Ezekiel 16, verse 20. Listen to this. Again, speaking to the nation of Israel. Moreover, thou hast taken thy sons and thy daughters, whom thou hast born unto me, and thou sacrificed unto them to be devoured. Is this thy whoredoms a small matter, that thou hast slain my children, and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire for them? Again, offering them up to the god of Molech. You have slain my children. And remember, we talked about Job chapter 3 last week, and Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. Both Job and Solomon said, you know, it'd been better off with all this troubles coming my way. It'd been better to have if I was a miscarriage, or if I had been stillborn, at least I would be at rest. And there is no rest in hell, right? I would be at rest. Speaking of heaven. Now, 2 Samuel, if you will, chapter 12, verse 20. Now, are you there? Say amen. All right, we're on sync now, right? You remember the story here. David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. And he had ordered Uriah to be put on the front line so he could be killed, to cover up the sin. But Nathan the prophet had come to him some 2 years later and confronted him. And David had repented and was forgiven. But still, he had to pay the consequences of sin. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, then that child died. Earlier verses here, we say that, you know, this child was going to die. Look in verse 20. Then David arose from the earth. He had mourned for 7 days over this child, whether he was going to live or not, and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord. Do you see that? For 7 days he hadn't washed. He hasn't ate. He hasn't changed clothes. And after he heard that the baby was dead, the first thing he did was take a bath, change his clothes, and go into the house of the Lord. Now listen to your preacher just a minute. Folks, when you're going through problems, listen to me. It's not time to stay home and say, when I get it straightened out, I'll be back. The only way you're going to get it straightened out is be in the company of believers. Amen? Right? He went to the house of the Lord. You see that? And worshiped. Boy, he didn't get angry at God. He worshiped. And when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Boy, this took his servants by mistake. Man, you just lost your child. Look, then said his servants to him, what thing is this that thou hast done? I mean, for 7 days you mourned, and now he's dead, and now you're getting up, taking a bath, you're washing, you're going to the house of the Lord like nothing happened. Thou didst fast and weep for the child, and while he was alive, but when he was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David knew, number one, he was going to heaven. Number two, he says, I will what? I shall go to him. That speaks of a personal meeting. David wasn't saying, I'm going to the grave with him. Going to the grave with him would not motivate David to wash, to eat, to go to the house of the Lord and worship. David did all that because he was going to him in heaven, right? You see that? And he says, but he shall not return to me. But he can go to him. And when any of you that have ever had a child to die and you're going to heaven, you're going to see your child again, right? Now let's go a little further. Let's go to the New Testament. Turn to Romans chapter 1, if you will. Romans chapter 1. And some of these, I mean, you know, I read these passages and I never see it for what's in there many times. But go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1 is all about everybody being condemned before God, right? And why we need to be saved. But in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which they have made known of God is manifest in them, See, God has placed an awareness in the conscience of every person that there's a God. And they have creation to show them that there's a God. And God, as they respond to these two lights, God will send them a missionary that they may respond to Christ's light. Okay? Now look at it. Now look what it says. What verse was I on? Verse 20? Verse 19. Because that which they may known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now, listen to me. The heathen is without excuse because he has had these revelations. Okay? But a little toddler hasn't. Now look in verse 20. For the invisible things of him through creation and the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know, your little baby that's just born, he's not looking around in the nursery and saying, oh, what a beautiful sky that is. You know, there must be a God. No. He's wanting to get that diaper changed and he's wanting to get fed, right? Okay. I mean, I didn't change no diapers in my life, but I know that when they need changing because you can smell it, right? And he says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Boy, isn't that amazing? The heathen even knows in the Godhead, right? So that they are without excuse. Now look in verse 21. Because they that which knew God, now this is important. The heathen that is without excuse knew God, knew there was a God, right? Kind of like that man that was here last week. If that was him in the paper, he knew of God, but he didn't know God, right? And he says, because they which knew God had glorified him not as God, neither were thankful nor became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Folks, if there's no greater definition of homosexuality, it's right there. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And this is the point I want to say. Babies are different from the heathen who are without excuse. They suppress the fact of the knowledge of God and they suppress the truth. But babies are with excuse. They haven't reached that age, if you will, that level of understanding where they can know all these things. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 18, if you will. Matthew chapter 18. We'll be in verse 3. I keep speaking so there won't be any empty space on the CD, right? Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. It's taken me a while to get there for some reason. You can't start in Revelation and find it, can you? Matthew 18, look in verse 3 through 6. You there? All right. Verily I say, again, this is one of the instances in the Gospels where Jesus used children as an analogy of how we come to faith. And said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Innocent, simple faith, just trusting, not a lot of garbage, you know. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones. Now, this is interesting because intertwined here, Jesus is talking about new believers and he's talking about children. He said, but who shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hung around his neck, or hanged around his neck, than they were drowned in the depth of the sea. Jerry Sandusky, guilty on 45 or 48 accounts, it would have been better off to him if he had a millstone around his neck and thrown in the bottom of the sea. Amen? Now look, go, same chapter, go to verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Now look in verse 14. This is what I want to get at. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. You see that? You know what he's saying here? He's using an analogy of the children compared to how adult believers or older children come to faith in Christ. He's using an analogy of little children to show how we come into the kingdom. But you know what? When Jesus used an analogy, the analogy had to be true too. And children must be in the kingdom to be used as an analogy here. Do you see that? Are you with me? Well, John, you look puzzled. Is your hearing thing working? Is your hearing aid working? Oh, okay. I'll get with you. Y'all see that? If you're going to use an analogy of a child to an adult coming to Christ, then I'm telling you, the analogy has to be true too. He's not willing that none of these little ones perish, right? Now go to Matthew chapter 19. Look in verse 13, if you will. Matthew 19, verse 13. Then there were brought unto him little children. We looked at this the other week. He should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, suffer little children and allow children, forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Mark says in Mark chapter 10, verse 16, that he blessed them. He blessed them. Now listen to this. I want y'all to hear this. Nowhere in Scripture do you have recorded that Jesus ever blessed unbelievers. Nowhere in Scripture do you have Jesus blessing unbelievers. He blessed these children because for of such is the kingdom of heaven. That's why they're not going to invite me to do an inaugural prayer at when Romney is elected president. Why? Because I'm not going to bless this nation. I'm going to rebuke this nation. Unless we repent and turn to God and repent of our sins, God's not going to bless us, right? Now I want to close with some questions here, okay? How old are children in heaven? Will there be any strollers in heaven? When we get up to heaven, will we see adult people walking around with strollers or their babies? How old are children in heaven? Will there be any strollers in heaven? Again, when Scripture is not explicit on it, you have to just pull in from other areas. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like him. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, and those he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that it might be the firstborn among many brethren. Adam was created a fully grown man, right? Don't let those people in your classes at school tell you that it came from a caveman. Adam was created a fully grown man. He was able to speak with God right off the bat, right? He didn't rub two sticks together and make fire and say, unga, uwa, wangwa. Adam talked directly to God. That was eubonics, if you don't know what that was. Right? How many believe that? God created Adam a fully grown man. And he talked to him. Some believe that he was about 30 years old. Because you take the analogy, you take the ages of Genesis and Adam up, he was about 30 when he was created. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was how old? 30. When he was offered up on the cross, he was 33. You know, I believe that every baby that goes to heaven, if they're aborted, stillborn, whatever, when we get there, they're going to be this mature age when we get there. How do we know that? Revelation 7, verse 9. This is one of the passages in Revelation that speaks about our worship around the throne of God. Now listen to this. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands. Verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb. How can little babies, if they're strollers in heaven, go around in their little infant state, little stillborn state, be able to praise God? It said everybody's going to do it, right? Because they'll be like him. Another question. Will my baby know me, and will I know my baby when I get to heaven? Well, again, I take you to 2 Samuel 12. David said, I shall go to him. Speaking of a reunion, right? a personal reunion with his baby. But he shall not return unto me. And the Bible says that in heaven we'll be known as we are known. I'll be able to look around there and I'll see Charlie. I'll say, Charlie, I said, man, wasn't there some good times we played softball, wasn't it? And Charlie will have a glorified mind. And he said, what softball? Right? Will I know my baby? Yes, you'll know him or her. So what happens to babies when they die? Instant heaven. They're innocent. They're known by God, just like he knew you before the foundation of the world. And they're saved from the judgment of God, given the special grace in this condition of accountability. Now, knowing all that I've shared these past 3 weeks, I do believe that babies go to heaven if they die in this condition. And having said, there's a great debate. The preachers like to get together and argue about those things we can't answer, right? So, do you believe babies are going to rapture? And I got some pastor friends that don't believe that. They believe that they're in this condition of accountability, of lack of understanding, and so God's going to leave them behind to go through the tribulation, and they're going to have to grow up and come to Christ. But I don't believe that. I believe if they're innocent, I believe if they're known by God and they're saved from God's judgment and everything that I've shared the last 3 weeks, God takes his children to the rapture, and that children will include what? My children, right? And he'll take the baby in the rapture. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, when the rapture takes place, I'll be glorified. And I won't be able to tell, but I'll miss it in the flesh saying, na 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 na. You missed it, right? You missed it, right? And all of you to believe you were going to stay here and go through the tribulation, I'll be saying, na 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 na, on the way up to heaven, right? And you can stay and go through this mess, but I'm not, right? Right? What happens to babies who die? Instant heaven. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for this study. Thank you. It's been enlightening to me and motivating to my heart as well. And I hope all of us will be able to defend this position better than just saying, well, my pastor said they would. That we'll be able to take them through scriptures, write them down in the leaf of our Bible, and that we'll be able to share with them why we can know. And if you're here today and you've ever had a baby that was stillborn or died in this age, certain condition, or died or had a miscarriage, it could have been 3 weeks, I don't know how long it was, that baby immediately goes into the presence of the Lord. Thank you for these things. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.